Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Let us pray. Oh, Lord in heaven, we just thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for everyone gathered here today, Lord. And we thank you for your mighty word, Lord, which brings power and peace and hope to our lives, Father God. When we receive your word and instill it in our hearts, Father, you give us the strength to do all things, Father, and we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you bless this sermon this morning, Father God, and that you bring peace and that you give grace to each and every one of us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I love that song. Amen. And I think they're coming in concert next month. But anyways. But my sermon title today is The Lord of the Sabbath, and that's going to be our focus today, amen, is the Sabbath. And once again, we're going to be talking about the Pharisees again, amen, and of course about Jesus Christ. But so there was once a parishioner, which is a church member, amen, that he called up his associate pastor, and he was very angry on Monday morning. So he calls him up on Monday morning. He says, I tried to get a hold of you on Friday, but you didn't answer the phone. And the pastor said, it was my day off. Amen. And the parishioner exclaimed, he said, day off? The devil never takes a day off. And the pastor said, well, if I didn't take a day off, then I guess I'd be just like the devil. Amen. Right? So, you know, there's so much to do in the church that we as pastors, we're in danger of burning out sometimes. Amen? And that's if we try to do it on our own strength. Amen? But when we do everything in God's strength, whether we're pastors, parishioners, whoever we may be, amen, we can do all things through Christ. Amen? So even pastors need a Sabbath, though. Okay? So we do have our days off, but God's work never takes a break. Amen? God's work never takes a break. He never tires. So in today's text, the Pharisees, here they are again, they're at it again, and this time they're going to complain twice. Amen? They're going to complain twice about what should be and what shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus doesn't seem to care about where he is or what day it is. I believe that he was healing every day. Amen? He was healing every day, and he didn't care if it was the Sabbath or, you know, he just didn't care. He was there to heal, and he was there to teach. And he had already told them that the time would come when the bridegroom was going to leave, right? We preached about that last week. There would be a time when the bridegroom would be taken from them, but until that time, there was going to be no time off and no vacations for Jesus. Amen? He was going to work every day, and nobody was going to stop him. Amen? Now, about these Pharisees and scribes and their rules, if you will, they had so much respect for the original set of scriptures, the Torah, and they wanted to protect them so desperately that they started adding rules to them. Amen? And that's what the Pharisees are doing here. They started adding rules to them. It was a little different than the Reformation. Amen? The Reformation was adding rules, but a lot of their focus was on getting more money for the church. Amen? But at this time, they're just adding rules because they thought they were doing it in God's name. Amen? They were adding these rules. So after a while, for the Pharisees, it just seemed right for them to keep adding rules. It just seemed right. It seemed almost necessary for them to keep adding these rules. And it sort of reminded me of, like, you know, we talk about lying. When you're lying, one lie begots another. It gets easier, and it almost seems necessary, right? When we're lying, or when we're sinning, or when we're eating Pringles, right? Amen? So we get in these habits, right? And then it's hard to get out of them, amen? Bad habits, that is. And once you start, it's hard to stop. So it got so bad and stringent that every detail of life was a category for them to critique, amen? Every detail of life. And when God said, don't work on the Sabbath, they felt it was their duty to explain what that meant, right? and how everything that they said was going to be working on the Sabbath. So this is what Jesus was attacking. This is what Jesus was refuting. Amen? The Lord doesn't like anything being added to his law or to his word. Amen? The Lord doesn't like that. The problem wasn't the Pharisees' commitment or their ideas. The real problem was their attitude. It was their attitude towards everyone else. Their rules became more important than the people. That was the bad part. The rules became more important than the people. The ceremonial details became more important than a relationship, whether that relationship was between them and the people or between them and Jesus Christ. Amen? Between them and God. It became more important. So a lot of churches today fall into this category. Amen? They'd rather have a religion than a relationship. They're following all these rules and regulations, and they're forgetting about the relationship. So our first verse today, it says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain and rub them in their hands and eat the kernels. Now, Jesus had set the example, okay? He was setting the example, and the disciples were following his lead. So normally they wouldn't have done this on the Sabbath, but they were doing it because Jesus said it was okay. Amen? Jesus was doing it. They were all doing it. So at this time, in this place in history, it was legal for people to walk through these fields and pick the grain and eat it. Amen? And but just enough for personal use, personal sustenance. Amen? It wasn't about, they couldn't go in there and harvest everything, right? And I'll talk more about that. But God made provision to do this, to be able to pick like that through the law of Moses. Amen? And it was primarily for the poor or maybe for the travelers, like if someone was traveling through because they all traveled on foot, right, that they could pick this food to keep them going. Amen? So you could go into someone's field and you could eat some of their grain. And it talks about it in Deuteronomy 23. It says, and it talks about grapes too. It says, if you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat all the grapes you want, but do not put any in your basket. So just what we need for right now. Amen? And in verse 25 it says, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not out a sickle to their standing grain. In other words, you can't harvest it. You can eat it, you can pick what you want, but you can't harvest it. So this is considered one of God's laws of mercy. God's laws of mercy that were to sustain the poor and the hungry. And this law is still practiced by travelers in Palestine today. They still pick from people's fields, amen? At least the ones, I guess, that don't have fences around them, right? But they still practice that today. So they were not breaking God's law, right? They weren't breaking God's law. They were breaking the man-made law of not harvesting and threshing on the Sabbath, amen? And what I mean by that is they were calling what they were doing harvesting and threshing, when in reality they were just doing what God said was okay. Amen? So, this would constitute working on the day of rest. So that was it. That was against their rules. Now you may be thinking, it's the Sabbath day, they're walking along and they're picking some grain, who cares, right? What's the big deal? Why are they making a big deal out of it? Well, it was a big deal to them. It was a big deal to the Pharisees and to the Jews, because as far as they were concerned, the disciples were guilty of all these different violations that they had made up. Amen? And now I'd like to know, what were these Pharisees doing, probably dressed in all their garb, right? Standing out there in the fields in like 100, probably 110 degree weather, right? What are they doing there in the first place? Amen? But are they following Jesus around, trying to implicate him in whatever they're trying to set him up, right? Sounds kind of familiar today, hey? Amen? But here's the laws that they said they were breaking, okay? Here's the laws they said they were breaking. They said by picking the grain, just picking it out of the field, they were guilty of reaping. They call that reaping, okay? And by separating the grain from the stalk, they call that threshing. And by rubbing the grain in their hands and separating the kernel from the chaff and then blowing it, they call that winnowing. And by eating it, They actually called it food prep. So they were doing four violations just by picking the food and eating it to stay alive. Amen? These were all violations according to the law of the Jews, but not according to the law of God. Not according to the law of God. We look at these violations and think, how ridiculous is this? But the Jews, they saw it as a matter of eternal life and death. Amen? They saw it as they were doing God's work, and this meant, you know, eternal life or eternal death. The Pharisees were convinced they were doing God's work, even if it contradicted the Savior himself. Amen? That's the crazy part. So some of the Pharisees, in verse 2, it says, some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? They're asking Jesus and all the disciples, why are you doing this that's unlawful on the Sabbath? Remember, in their eyes, they were breaking the law of God. And even worse than that, they thought that their rabbi, Jesus, was a blasphemer, right? So they're already trying to get him. So they're just totally against them for breaking the rules. So Jesus responds in verse 3, and he starts to recite a story from 1 Samuel when David was running from Saul, and he and his men were hungry, and they came to this house of God and asked the priest for the bread. Amen? The show bread. Amen? And the way he did that was, in verse 3, he said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, the show bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. He's saying, have you never read, referring to 1 Samuel chapter 21? And I'm going to read that for you guys because, you know, Jesus knew that these Pharisees had been raised on the Old Testament. They knew the scriptures. Amen? So he's asking them, haven't you read that God said what God said? Amen? So in verse 21, or in chapter 21, it says, David, this is talking about David going to the priest. Amen? David went to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? David answered Ahimelech the priest, he said, the king sent me on a mission and said to me, no one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find. There it is. But the priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women. David replied, indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today? So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now, why would God and the priest overlook the breaking of this law, amen, by David? Why were they overlooking it, right? Why would they overlook it, but the Pharisees wouldn't overlook it? Because they knew that what God wanted was, and that's that human need is more important than religious rituals, amen? So even if they had a ritual or a law that was set in place, if there was a human that needed food to survive or someone that was injured or someone that needed healing, then that was more important than the rituals, amen? That was more important than these rules. Now, you won't see these exact words in the Bible that human need is more important than religious rituals, but there are many examples of this statement in the scriptures, many examples of this. And they don't believe that what God really wants is mercy before sacrifice. That's what God wants. He wants mercy before sacrifice. Amen? Some examples are Hosea 6:6, where God said, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And in Philippians 3:9 it says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Once again, over the law, amen? And then in Romans 3:21, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." The sacrifices God is looking for are a broken and contrite heart. That means more to God than sacrificing animals or following all these rules. He does not need us to sacrifice. Not animals, anyways. In God's eyes, the human need and repentance was much more important than any ritual or any rule. But the leaders in Jesus' day, as his ministry was coming on the scene, they could not accept that challenge. They couldn't accept it, or that change. And as I said last week, the new wine, right? We said last week the new wine couldn't be poured into old wineskins. Amen? The Pharisees just couldn't accept this. And Phariseeism, if that's really a word, is alive and well today. Amen? It's alive and well today. They don't call themselves Pharisees anymore, but they do still exist. The spirit of Pharisaical thought and attitudes still exist today. Some religions don't think about their people first. They don't think about the people first. They don't love all people to Christ sometimes. Amen? They don't think about people first. They think about the rules. They think about the regulations. They think about all these things before they think about their people. And an example, in 1992, there was some tenants that let three apartments in an Orthodox neighborhood in Israel burn to the ground while they were asking a rabbi whether a telephone call to the fire department on the Sabbath would violate Jewish law. So they couldn't, they couldn't do anything about the fire until they got permission. Amen. This is because observant Jews in the area were forbidden to use their phones on the Sabbath because to do so would break an electrical current. They didn't have cell phones, right? Everything was corded, right? So they were afraid that it would break an electrical current, and that would be considered a form of work. That's the laws they had in place, that was a form of work. So in doing that, while they were waiting for an answer, all three of these apartments burned to the ground. Amen? So, is this type of law-abiding religion still going on today? You better believe it. Amen? It still goes on today. And this kind of religion happens in the Christian church as well. It does. And we'll talk about that more here in a little bit with a perfect example. But in the next verse, verse 5, it says, "Then Jesus said to them," this is where it gets real, amen? He says, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's his second principle today. And it would be even more dramatic as Jesus would say, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and I'm not offended by their actions." Right? He's the Lord. He's God. Amen? He's not offended by that. Then why should they be offended? The Jews were supposed to be the recipients of the Sabbath, but Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. And this was another direct claim to his deity. Amen? He's saying, "I'm God. Wake up, you guys." Right? "I'm God." But the Pharisees would call it blasphemy. The Pharisees would call it blasphemy. These Pharisees were offended that the commandments of God were being violated, and here was God essentially standing right in front of them. Amen? Here's God standing right in front of them. They would even accuse Jesus, God, of violating the law and blasphemy. That sounds like denial to me. Amen? It looks like they're in denial, right? But before we move on, remember back in verse 3 where Jesus was replying to another accusation by the Pharisees when he told them, have you never read? Remember he said, have you never read? Of course they had read the Old Testament scriptures. The problem was not that they didn't read it, but they never understood it. They never fully understood what the scriptures were saying. And I like this Barclay wrote. He said, it is possible to read scripture meticulously, to know the Bible inside and out, from cover to cover, to be able to quote it verbatim and to pass any examination on it, and yet completely miss its real meaning. God's not impressed just because someone can memorize scripture. God wants us to be living His Word. Not just reading it, but living in it. Amen? We're not to be just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, right? Walk the walk, right? If we're going to talk the talk, we should be walking the walk. Or even if we can't talk, we should be walking the walk. Amen? The Pharisees knew the Word of God, and a lot of false prophets today know the Word of God too, right? We know this, right? And even Satan knows the Word of God better than all of us. Amen? Even Satan knows the Word of God. But if we're not living the Word of God, our knowledge of God, no matter how extensive it may be, is futile. If we're not living in the Word, then it doesn't matter how much we know. Amen? So now in verse 6, we have another run-in with the Pharisees, as I suppose they made their way back from the fields, right? They're out there in the fields, now they're back in the synagogue, okay? And it's on the Sabbath again. And verse 6 says that on another Sabbath, he, Jesus, went into the synagogue and he was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. Now once again, as a doctor, Luke is being specific, right? About the he's being specific about which hand it is. Amen? He's saying the right hand. And he's the only gospel writer to mention the right hand. So thank you, Dr. Luke. Amen? Amen. Many scholars also believe that this was a setup by the Pharisees. This man being this lame man with the shriveled hand was a setup. And they planted him there because they knew that the compassionate Jesus was going to heal him no matter what day it was or where they were at. Amen? So it was. Some believe it was a setup, but others say he was just there to study the Word of God. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They were setting him up. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath. Now the reason they had planted the man and were watching so closely is that they believed to heal on the Sabbath meant to work, right? So everything was working, right? You couldn't do anything. Amen? Everything was work. So to heal the man would have been breaking God's law. So it was unlawful to heal on the Sabbath. They were accusing God, Jesus, of breaking his own laws. The sad part is that I think they truly thought that they were doing God's will. That's the crazy part. That's the sad part. That these guys, they really thought they were doing God's will. There are many evil people in the world today who think they are doing God's will. Amen? They're the most dangerous. We have Al-Qaeda and ISIS, right? No matter what else they believe or might be their motivation, they believe that they're serving God and cleansing the world in God's name, at least their God's name, amen, by brute terrorism and murder, suicide bombings, driving airplanes into buildings, amen. They believe they're doing God's work. So history continues to repeat itself through these evil people by rationalizing their evil, by thinking they're doing God's will. They're believing the lies of the devil is what they're doing. They're believing the lies of the devil. And so they were accusing God. Oh, thank you. Okay, I got it. So they're accusing God of breaking his own rules. Amen? And in verse 8 it says that Jesus knew what they were thinking. Of course he did, right? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, he said, "Get up, stand in front of everyone." So the man got up and he stood there. So Jesus calls this wounded man to stand up and expose his need of healing to everyone. And in doing so, would expose the Pharisees' hearts. Amen? Amen. Then in verse 9, Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life, to heal life, or to destroy it?" The reason Jesus is asking this question is to expose their hearts. Amen? He wants to expose the Pharisees' hearts. Jesus knew that the Pharisees didn't care about doing good. They cared more about following rules than they did about those who were in need. The Pharisees thought if you didn't follow their rules, you were going to fall under their condemnation, which is another reason that Jesus came. Amen? That's another reason. That's one, the main reason Jesus came. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus is asking them, is it lawful or not to do good on the Sabbath? The Pharisees are probably like, well, that's besides the point. Right? That's besides the point. You have to follow the law, regardless of your needs. You have to follow the law. But Jesus would say in Matthew 7:12, Jesus would say, "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." We all know that verse, amen? "Do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets." Being good to one another is more important than following the laws. Amen? Being good to one another is more important. And if it's God's law, then it should include being good to each other. Amen? Being nice to each other, right? Caring for each other. That's what God wants, regardless of the law. But if it's God's law, that's what it's going to be. Amen? Speaking of Matthew, my favorite gospel writer, by the way, in case you didn't know. In his account, Jesus asked the Pharisees another question regarding the Sabbath. Amen? So there's another, he asked one more question in Matthew's account. He says to them, "If any one of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Amen. That's what they used to do. That's what they believed. That it would be okay to pull a sheep out of a trench, but it wouldn't be okay to heal a human being. Amen. That's what he's saying. So how wrong is that, right? How wrong is that? They couldn't see the error in that, right? They would rescue a sheep, but they couldn't heal a man. So Jesus was starting to get upset. Amen. Jesus was starting to get upset. Yes, Jesus got mad, okay? Jesus was starting to get upset, and it says in the Gospel of Mark that at this point, he looked around at them in anger. He looked around at them in anger, and he was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. God does not like when our hearts are stubborn or when we're cold towards other people, regardless of who they are or what they've done. Matthew 7:12, it says, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you," right? It's a pretty simple rule to follow, right? We don't want others to hate us or be mean to us, right? So do unto others as you would have them do to you. Now notice we're quoting throughout this sermon, we're quoting from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, amen? And some people might say, well, why do we got to read all three? They're all similar stories. Why do we need to know all three different stories? Amen? It's because the Lord wants us to get this down. The Lord wants us to know the full Emmanuel story. Amen? He wants us to get this down. He wants us to go over it again and again from all the different angles so that we know how to apply it to our lives. That's the important part. And that's the part that these Pharisees, even today, are missing. Amen? Applying it to our lives. And not just to memorize it, but to apply it to our lives. And in verse 10, he looked around at them all, Jesus. He looked around at them all, and he's like, okay, you guys ready? And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. His hand was completely restored. And, you know, the man didn't hesitate. He didn't argue. He heard what the Lord said. He obeyed, and his hand was healed. God's commandments are empowerments. God's commandments are empowerments. I was talking to Pastor about this earlier before service. And, you know, if God tells any of us to do something, the command itself is the power for us to do it. Amen? Just God telling us to do something, commanding us to do something, that gives us the power to do it. And that's what makes the Bible so amazing. It's the living word that has the power to get things done. Amen? It contains the power. And that's what makes it so amazing. It has the power to change our lives. I know this from firsthand experience. A lot of us, all of us, know this. Amen? It has the power to change lives. That's why we're here. Amen? That's why we're here. If we read it and we choose to do it, we can literally do all things through Christ, through Christ's word. This man did not doubt Jesus for a second. He didn't say, you know, my hand's been like this since birth, there's no hope. You know, I don't think it's going to work. Or the doctors say there's no hope. No, he just sticks his hand out. He sticks his hand out. He listens to Jesus, and the man was healed. But then in verse 11, it says that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, rather than being amazed, right? Rather than being amazed at this, they were furious. And they started to discuss with one another what they were going to do to Jesus. They were upset because a guy got healed on the Sabbath day. They weren't amazed by a miracle. They were mad because they didn't follow their rules. People can get mad and upset about the funniest, most insignificant things. Amen? It doesn't make any sense at all. And another example of that, like I said, I was going to mention, there was once a huge Billy Graham crusade. Amen? Thousands of people came. And thousands of people got saved at this crusade. But there was also a number of churches that were there. They were very upset. Okay? They were upset because Billy Graham had the audacity, they said, to have a few Catholic priests up on the stage with all the other ministers. They thought, how could he have the nerve to do that? And they boycotted the rest of the crusade. Even though all these people were being saved, all they could think about was these Catholic priests that were up on the stage. Amen? And they were angry. They didn't care about anything else but that. So that kind of thinking is still alive and well today. Amen? That kind of Pharisaic thinking is still alive and well today. Some Christians may say, how can we be happy for them because they're not doing this or they're not doing that? Right? Lord help us. These guys are angry. These Pharisees were angry. They're saying someone got healed on the Sabbath day, and they start talking about how they're going to kill Jesus. It's obvious that their fury and plotting of murder were a greater violation than anything that they were doing, right? Any healing or whatever Jesus was doing. This hatred that they had, this plotting of murder, that was the real violation. That was the real violation of God's law. David Guzik wrote about this. He said, Jesus wasn't trying to reform the Sabbath. He was trying to show that in their understanding of the Sabbath, they missed the whole point. A legalist wants to debate the rules, but the point wasn't which rules are the correct rules. The point was the basic way to approach God. We emphasize that it was based not on what we did for Him, but it is based on what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace. Amen? Not by works. We are saved by grace. And thanks be to God that Jesus Christ will always be the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your mighty word, which brings peace and healing and hope to our lives. We ask that You forgive us, Father, for any time that we fall short, for any time we put rules in front of other people, for any time that we fall short of caring for others, of praying for others. Lord, we thank You for working through us and in us and giving us the strength, Father, to do Your will. We praise You, Lord. We love You and we thank You. And we ask that You just continue to use each of us in a mighty way, Lord. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.